Thank you for joining us at the Sister Light International Assembly. We're a church committed to raising lights and maximizing lives. This is a special ministration by Pastor Lan and Jiwala. It is our prayer that you be richly blessed. And now the word.
Thank you very much. Let's stay in the spirit of worship. I want to share something very important today. In this month, you may be pleased to be seated. This month, we've been talking about supernatural forces. Supernatural forces. Supernatural forces. We're delving into the things that God has provided beyond the natural to deal, to be able to handle our lives and to deal with the situations and the circumstances of our lives, and also, you know, for us to use it to advance its purpose. And I want to talk about something today that is often misunderstood. So you need to pay close attention. Amen. Pay close attention. I'm going to be as simple as I can. I will be very simple, very basic, and I'm going to be scriptural. I'm just going to take it from the Word of God. Amen. I want to talk to you about today the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I'll give you the rationale for this topic. Now, I don't know about you, if something is mine, if something is provided for me, and if it is useful, I want to use it. I want to utilize it. Amen. I want to put it to use. I don't want it to lie fallow and unused. And listen, there are many things that God has given us that in many lives, even in many churches, ours not excluded, we don't really tap into those things for several reasons, either because of fear or because of lack of understanding. But the people that God used to write the New Testament and the early church, they were not afraid of things. They utilized those things, and they gave us instructions, especially Paul, gave us instructions on how, you know, we can be able to do the same since we're in the same church age. So this is in the continuation of what we've been talking about in the past few weeks. For those of you who are not around in the past few weeks, all our messages are available on our website, thecitylight.org. If you go to thecitylight.org, on the homepage, you will see all the videos of all the past services. You can watch them from beginning to end or fast forward them, you know, to any point that you want. So you can keep up and you can maybe go back and have a little reference to what we're talking about today. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Starting from verse 1. Paul says, "Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed." Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. Now, question. If God did not want the church in Corinth to be uninformed about spiritual gifts, does he want us to be uninformed? Right? So that means he wants us to be informed. Isn't that true? Good. He wants us to be informed about spiritual gifts. Why is information powerful? Information is powerful because when you have information, you reduce the possibility of being deceived. Right? For example, right now, there's nothing in this world that can scare me about electricity. Amen. I mean, what I mean by electricity, I mean, I can go into the walls, open up walls, I can join wires together, and I'm not scared. The reason is because I studied electrical engineering, and I've been working with it, so I'm not scared of it. But somebody who doesn't have the information, you know, what if I do this? What if I put this one on? And they are scared. You get what I'm saying? Whatever, you know, you are informed about, you become confident about. Amen. So with information, you are able to discern. You are able to use it well. You are able to know when it is being used wrongly. Right? So that's why Paul says to these people, I don't want you to be uninformed. And I tell you, this is one of the areas, the biggest areas of lack of information in the church. How many of you are in agreement with me? It's one of the biggest areas of lack of information. There are some places that you cannot even mention it. People don't even study it. It's one of the areas of lack of information. And Satan has used that to cause a lot of deceptions. A lot of deception. You'll be amazed at how many people. You know, there are some shows on TV. How many of you, some of these shows where somebody will come and he will start, or he or she will say they are communicating with the dead. How many of you know some of those shows? I remember one day crossing over with Ed Jordan or something like that. When I first came to the United States, the guy was on TV. And the guy will be, you know, talking to people's dead relatives and be telling them things. And they will start crying. That's the kind of cloth my dad used to wear. Did you know that? Your dad said I should tell you that he loves you and I did not die of it. And then people will break down and start crying. Statistics also says that a lot of people, I'm sure if we take a poll in this place, a secret poll, there are people who have called the psychic hotline. Just don't move too much on your seat. Nobody would know. Just look at me and smile like everybody else. You smile and laugh. You'll be anonymous. Many people consult the horoscope. In fact, they have the app on their iPhone to tell them how the future is going to be, how the month is going to be, and whether they are compatible with this person or whatever. People do palm readings. So just look at it. Just tell me. And they look at your palm. It's done this way, it's going this way, it's going this way. Your future is going to be great. Or something. Christians do it. Now, because we're in another part of the world, we're in the West, if you go to, you know, places like Africa, you have Christians who go secretly to herbalists. All I just want is protection from armed robbers. So, all I want is just put something on my head. If anybody tries to do anything to me, it will go back to sender. If anybody shoots me, it will become, the bullet will just turn to water. People do it. Some of them are even leaders in church. Even I understand that some pastors, they go to some people and say, I want people to come to my church. Just give me something that will draw the people. There was a pastor that died recently in Nigeria. And some days after he died, a secret cult came to carry him to go and bury him. They said they own his body. Because he was one of them. Go and read the news. If you tap it into Google, you'll find it there. Amen. He was one pastor. Everybody knew him. Power. Amen. Hallelujah. Sorry, you know, kids and mommies, we are going to be done very soon. Amen. So the nursery, check it out. The nursery is being painted and decorated. It's going to be beautiful. So please, bear with us. Amen. I'm telling you, okay, what about, now let's leave the West. Let's go to let's leave Africa and all that. We'll come back to the West. Do you know how many people are into some kind of Eastern religion in the United States, even Christians? They just want to have psychic abilities. They want to be able to bend spoons with their minds. You know? Let's face it. The supernatural is a big sell. How many of you are? It's a big sell. How many of you get what I'm saying? Anywhere there is supernatural, even the worst skeptic will gather there. Whenever the supernatural is in man, because man was a supernatural being. Man is a supernatural being. So anytime there is a supernatural, man is a man. When I say man, I mean the species. I'm talking about man and woman. Hallelujah, amen. So, or in general, let me say humans. Humans are attracted to what? The supernatural. Somebody said, man and miracles go hand in hand. Yeah. So, we want it. So, power. People want power. Let me tell you some of the things that people want. Let me, and tell me if I'm right. How many of you would like to know the future? Lift your hand. Come on. I can see some hands at the back. Yeah. You know, I just look into the future and I just know what's going to happen tomorrow, the day after tomorrow. I meet somebody and I say, this one, no, don't work with this one, no, because this one is going to get you in trouble. And this one, I just know it and everything is so clear. So people want that. People have always wanted that. They want to know the future. People want to be able to understand why what is happening in the present is happening to them, right? They want some clarification. And some people even want, they wish that they can understand why some things in the past happened to them. So people are seeking knowledge. That's one of the areas. Knowledge and discernment. People want to be able to discern and know. Should I go this way? You see a job and all that. And say, there are 3 jobs offer now. I wish I could just know which one, you know, I'll be promoted faster in. Which one, you know, is going to collapse. And which one is going to last. And which one I'm going to have the best boss that is going to be employed 2 years after I'm there. Do you get what I'm saying? People want to know. But those things are, you know, those things are not accessible to just a normal, physical, non, you know, supernatural existence. Those things are somehow available in the supernatural realm. Amen. People want power to control circumstances. Isn't that true? How many of you would like some power to change anything? You get what I'm saying? Something comes against you, you just say, and the thing goes, you know. Amen. Power. People want power. They want to control their circumstances. Some people take it to the other extent. They want power over other people. You know. Do you know how many times they say, you know, some of these fairies, people go, say, can I just give me something that when I put it on myself, all the girls will start to like me? Or all the men will just, the moment they see me like this, they cannot take their eyes away again. You know, from Midas who wanted to be able to touch everything that turns to gold, to genies that appear and give you 3 wishes, to modern day, you know, supernatural folklores like Harry Potter's. You know, you can fly, go anywhere on a broom, you can do all kinds. Even kids are fascinated by it. That's why the book became a huge bestseller. Because people want the supernatural. Amen. Who wouldn't like to fly? Amen. You know, do those amazing things that Harry Potter does. So you see, the desire for the supernatural and the desire to know, the desire to have power, the desire to be able to control nature, to be able to do all that, which are inborn desires that God has given us, but which the church, because of his constant denial, like we talked about, denial of the supernatural, has not talked about enough, or has been afraid to talk about, is now driving people to look for alternative sources. Because it's inborn. Amen. You know, in Zechariah chapter 10 verse 1, let's quickly look at Zechariah chapter 10 verse 1. God was saying, because the same thing happened in Israel, you know, Zechariah chapter 10 verse 1 says, ask the Lord. Ask rain from the Lord in the season of spring rain. For the Lord is the one who makes the storm clouds, and he will give them showers of rain to everyone, the vegetation in the field. And I will say, pray to God for rain. Look at it. He said, for the household gods utter nonsense, and the diviners see lies, and they tell false dreams, and they give empty consolation. Therefore, the people wander like sheep. They are afflicted for lack of a shepherd. So, God was speaking to Israel at that point of, you know, it was in a state of, Israel was in a state of apostasy where the preachers, the leaders and all that, they had lost their connection with God. So, the people just, because the people had a desire for this, and so they were trying to find it everywhere. But because nobody was talking to them about it. But all But all the people telling them all those things were deceiving them and getting their money and telling them about their future and telling them about their past. And God says, you know what? You got to ask God for the rain. The rain represents the Holy Spirit. He said, because of the lack of the rain, people are going elsewhere. And one of the things that we have said is one of our core values in City Light, which is what we're focusing on this year. You know, we have this acronym for City Lights that we used to talk about our core value. The S there is Supernatural Church. We're not going to shy away from talking about these things because they're in the Bible. Amen. Rather, we're going to teach people and they're going to know how to walk in it. How many of you are you excited about that? Okay, so let's go to 1 Corinthians 12 again. Now, concerning spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts. The first thing I want to say to you all is that this word gifts, the word gift here is not in the original Greek for this place. It was just added by the translators, you know, to try and give some meaning. The word that was used here is the word pneumaticon, which just means spirituals. So that's why some translations, you see, okay, good, you see, The KJV and some others, they put anything that is not in the original translation in brackets. That we are the one that added it there. It's not there. Amen. So it's now concerning. But how do you say now concerning spiritual? So they think, okay, let's put gift. But really, if you find there's another translation that puts it better. Now concerning, maybe the Amplified. Is it now concerning? Amplified is a spiritual gift. I mean, there's someone. Now concerning spiritual. So now concerning pneumaticon, now concerning things regarding the Holy Spirit. Everybody say things regarding the Holy Spirit. That's what the word means. Now concerning, like someone said, now concerning things that are of and that pertain to the Holy Spirit. I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to misunderstand it. I want you to get it. I want you to understand it. Things that are of the Holy Spirit. Because those things can be confusing. And sometimes if you are not taught well. And those things can lead into errors. Many churches, cults and all that. Like white garment churches. And all those things that are, you know, for some of you that know about them. They came out of individuals who were genuinely, some of them, not all of them, genuinely seeking God. They were seeking, they were prayers. And then they got something supernatural from God. But over time, the followers and all that didn't understand. They got into things. And now you see all kinds of things going on. You know, I don't want to get into it. Because we have our own. Amen. Pentecostals also have their Pentecostals. Amen. Okay, so, but you know, but many of them, it's because of the desire for the supernatural. So God says, now about matters of the Spirit. I think that's a better, more faithful translation. Now about matters of the Spirit, brothers, I don't want you to be unaware. Okay? Everybody say, I will not be unaware. Okay. He said, you know that when you were pagans, you were led astray by mute idols wherever you are led. You were led astray by mute idols in any direction you were led. Paul was saying, I need to get this across to you because Corinth was a very interesting city. If you were going to use a city to represent Corinth now, you probably say Las Vegas, you know, or which other city, or maybe Netherlands. What was that place? Amsterdam. Amen. That's what you would say. That's the way Corinth was in those days. It was the place everybody gathered, all kinds of things. Everything goes. Amen. And there was a church that was established there. The same things was trying to come in. So there was licentiousness. There was worship of idols. There were all kinds of things. So these converted believers were now in the church, but they had had some experiences before they came into the church. So the experiences that they've had in the church, I mean, in the world, was now conflicting. So when they saw the Spirit manifesting, you know, some of them were reminded of some things that they saw outside, and some of them mixed what they saw outside with what was going on. So Paul had to address it because he was the one that founded the church. You know, he had to address it and tell them. He said, this is the first thing I want you guys to get, which is the next verse. To truly recognize whether somebody is moving in the Holy Spirit This is the key criteria for you to discern whether somebody is moving in the Holy Spirit or moving in the devil. The key thing that you have to understand is that anybody who is operating by the Holy Spirit always exalts Jesus. Everybody say, always exalts Jesus. Now, it doesn't mean that the person is just exalting Jesus in the words of his mouth. But whatever is being done in the name of the Holy Spirit, if it is the Holy Spirit doing it, that thing itself, rather than drawing attention to the man, that thing will point you to Jesus and say, wow, Jesus is Lord. Amen. Do you get what I'm saying? So that alone, some of you, you watch Christian TV, semi-Christian TV, I don't know, whatever, you know. You watch all this stuff or you watch things on TV. Anytime anybody is doing anything and it's pointing attention to him, right? It's trying to draw attention to him. That thing is not of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean that the person does not have the Holy Spirit or whatever, but it's a perverted manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It's mingled with something. Whenever the Holy Spirit is in operation, Jesus is always glorified. Amen. Whenever it glorifies a man, whenever it glorifies a ministry, whenever it glorifies anything, then it is perverted. That's what Paul was saying there. Right? It is... Did I do something wrong? Okay, alright. So it is what? Anything that... anytime the Spirit of God is operating, it proclaims the Lordship of Jesus. Everybody say Lordship of Jesus. It proclaims the Lordship of Jesus. That's how you will know. That's the stamp of God upon all the different manifestations that you can see. That's the stamp of God. So let's move on. Verse 4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. So the second thing that you need to note is this. The Holy Spirit cannot be put in a box. Everybody say after me, say the Holy Ghost cannot be put in a box. Anytime you try to put him in a box, he's no longer there. Because the Bible tells us it's like the wind. You can't put him in a box. In other words, the Holy Spirit can operate anyhow, any way. In other words, there are diverse ways that he operates. That's the first thing. He operates in diverse ways. So you can see somebody operating in the Holy Spirit, and sometimes that thing might not fit into your theology, or sometimes might not fit into your usual experience. Don't judge it because it does not fit into your usual experience. Do you get what I'm saying? Judge it by the other things that I'm going to show you. The first one is that, is he glorifying Jesus? But don't judge it because it doesn't fit into your usual experience. Number two, the Holy Spirit operates through different people in different ways. So in other words, somebody can come out right now, if I call 10 people to come into this place and the Holy Spirit is moving through them, it's going to move uniquely through each one with their personalities, with whatever unique gifting he has given to them. In other words, God is just so amazing. God is so diverse. God is the one that can make 7 billion fingerprints and still make it, all of them are different. So God is a God of diversity. Come on, say God is a God of diversity. That's why we have so many colors, so many all kinds. You just have hues and colors of people on the earth. Because some people say God is colorblind. God is not colorblind. God is not blind in anything. God likes color. Amen. Did you get what I'm saying? He's not colorblind. He likes multicolor. Did you get it? Because he's the one that did what? That created all of them. He likes multicolor. He's not colorblind. God likes diversity. Whenever things start going just one way, God likes diversity. He likes to break the boxes of people. He likes to, to just go beyond, the way people have always thought that he was going to move or do all that. All in the, regulated by Scripture, which is also diverse. Amen. Hallelujah. So he says God operates in various ways to various people. For example, you can see somebody coming to this place right now, and it's through a song, or somebody can come and he can operate Just tell everyone, you know, lift your hands and just begin to praise God, and then people start getting healed. Another person say, I'm going to lay hands on people. Another, you know, just different ways. He operates in different ways through different people. Do you all get that? Everybody say diversity. Good. But it says, but to each one, everybody say to each one, is the manifestation of the Spirit given for the common good. Everybody say common good. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. So he says the Holy Spirit chooses to manifest through each of us in different ways. But whenever he's operating, there's one parameter. And that the fact is that when he's operating, that thing produces good. And it produces what? Common good. In other words, for example, right now, I'm operating by a gift of the Spirit, but it's blessing all of us commonly. You know, the same way you come and operate in the gifts of the Spirit, it's blessing everyone. In other words, the operation of the Spirit is not to, it's not for self anger. How do they say it? Anger what? Aggrandizement. Amen. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit is not to lift up one individual or to make somebody popular. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit is not to make somebody spiritual. In fact, it has only to connect. It's not connected to spirituality. Spirituality is love. I'm going to say love. Do you get what I'm saying? It's just, God just wants to bless his people, right? So he chooses to use people. And if you feel God speaks through you and you are getting proud and say, ah, wow, God spoke to me so great. Just remember that God spoke through a donkey. Amen. And you might be one of those. No, that keeps all of us humble. Amen. Because God, I mean, I delivered a great word yesterday. Just remember that there was a donkey that delivered a greater word. Very accurate. In fact, it even saw an angel. Saw a vision and declared it. So you might be one of those donkeys. When you start thinking of yourself like one of those donkeys, then you will humble yourself. You won't think that because God is using it anyway, or you sing one powerful song and everybody say, ah, that is great. And say, like, I'm somebody. And nah, 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 nah. You know, you're not somebody. Even birds can sing. There's a bird that can sing better than you. Okay, all right. Someone say, calm down. Say, humble yourself. Don't get into the condemnation of the devil. Because Satan was one, you know, he thought he was so powerful and I will overthrow God. No, calm down. All of us need to calm down. God can use anything. Come on, say, God can use anything. God can send a dog to you if he chooses, amen, to tell you his purpose for your life. And then the dog will start barking afterwards. So God can use anyone. God can use a child. God can use anybody to speak to you, amen. So that's why sometimes some people are giving a word and you say, ah, how can this person be giving a word? I got born again 20 years before him. It does not matter. It's not by age. It's by availability, amen. If the person happens to be available at that time, God can use that person to speak to you or to do something or move in the Holy Ghost. So there's nothing special about hate in that sense. Amen. Did you get that? For the common good. So quickly, before we enter, what are these manifestations as described in scriptures? What are these manifestations of the Holy Spirit? It says, for to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. The utterance of wisdom, or the word of wisdom. And to another, the word of knowledge. According to the same Spirit. Just watch, we're going to come back. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts. Everybody say gifts. Plural. Gifts. In fact, this one is also plural. So the correct translation is gifts of healings. So in other words, somebody can be given a gift to heal headaches. Somebody can be given a gift to heal cancer. That when he's just speaking, it's cancer that just start getting healed. So there are also specializations. That's why it's called gifts of all kinds of gifts of healing. Somebody can be given a gift to heal broken-hearted people, people that are discouraged and all that. So in other words, some of you have those gifts in your life right now that you might not even be aware of. So the purpose of this is to stir up those supernatural forces and to get them into operation in your life. But you know, it's all kinds of healings. Amen. And then to another the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. And to another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he chooses. In other words, God uses his sovereignty to give. And when I say give, I put it in quotes because it's not something that you possess, like, you know, like you possess your quote that you can just put on anytime you want to put it on. So the gifts of the Spirit, in that sense, it's not something you just possess that you can use. No, it's their manifestation or the showing forth of the Spirit. So let's say we're worshiping right now. The Holy Spirit can just decide, can decide that, okay, I want to use Steve right now to give a prophecy. And at that moment in time, Stephen has the manifestation of prophecy. But after he finishes that, he goes back to Steve. Amen. And every other thing he says after that is not a prophecy. Amen. That's the mistake some people make. They say, because a prophet prophesied one time and said, just hear the Lord, and this is going to happen, and it happened. And they next thing is that they are following that prophet everywhere. So they follow the prophet and say, give me a word of the Lord again. And of course, when you tell a prophet to give you a word of the Lord, he will get a word. Amen. So the prophet said, thus saith the Lord. That man that you are going out with, or that woman you are going out, is not your wife. Separate. They said the prophet is saying, and maybe that's a relationship that God has blessed. They will go and they will go and separate. They said the prophet said it. The prophet don't carry, they don't operate in the gifts of the Spirit 24/7. Did you get that? Every word I speak, listen, every word, when I come here to speak, or and then when you meet me afterward, it's not every word that I speak is the word that the Holy Ghost came on me. Sometimes I speak as a man. But when I'm speaking by the Spirit, I'll tell you, I'm speaking by the Spirit right now. You see, when you read Paul, Paul says, I speak this as what? As a man. But people have made a mistake because they honor somebody and do all that. So everything that the person does and all that, if the person starts wearing something before, you know, everybody will start wearing the same thing. Because that is connected to the Holy Ghost. That's some of the mistakes that we have made. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you all get what I'm saying? So, in other words, these gifts are not things that we own and possess. These are things that when the Spirit comes upon us, if Elisha possessed it, when they came to him, you know Elisha gave prophecy. When they came to him and the king of Israel came to him, he said, go and bring me a minstrel, first of all. Because if he had spoken at that time, he would have just spoken by himself. He said, when the minstrel signed, they said, the hand of the Lord came upon him and he prophesied. He takes the hand of the Lord to what? To do it. Do you get what I'm saying? If you do it by yourself, it's just another word. And that's why a lot of people are deceived. Do you get what I'm saying? Okay. All right, are you getting that? So it's not every time. I mean, don't let pastors and all these things just. I mean, people have. I'm a pastor, but sometimes we overrate pastors. Hallelujah. We should honor. Someone said we should honor, but sometimes we overrate pastors. Amen. I mean, why should a pastor tell you not to travel? You say, I want to travel, you know, but my pastor said I must never travel. Nonsense. Now, if the pastor sees, maybe he sees something, right, from the Lord, he can come and tell you and say, you know what, I just sense something that, you know, you are about to take a travel, but I think you should pray or whatever, whatever. But it is subject to your will. Do you get what I'm saying? Everybody lift your hands. I want you to shout this. Say, nobody has the right in creation to impose on my will. Nobody has that right. No matter how spiritual the person seems. Nobody has the right to say, this person cannot marry this person. Only this one is the one that you can marry. You know that goes on? Nobody has the right to do that. People can come and tell you things, but God said, I have given you dominion. Someone say dominion. You have dominion. In other words, you can listen to people's counsel, but nobody has the right to force things to tell you got to do this, and if you don't, do you know this is going on? And people are scared, and they say, if you disobey me, the curse will come upon you. You are the one that will be cursed, not the person, because you are disobeying God's word. There's nothing like that in the New Testament. Amen. That's why, I just want to leave all that. But, you know, sometimes some errors is errors that make people afraid. Do you get what I'm saying? Of these spiritual things. It's errors. And also, even church members, you know, also, you know, when they start praying, people start praying, and then the next thing is, like somebody said, anytime people start gathering together, the next thing, God will start telling them things about the pastors. Somebody was like, "Thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord." The pastors are not walking the ways of God. Shut your mouth. God is not going to tell you anything about the pastor. Do you get what I'm saying? He's going to tell the pastor or his pastor about him. It's not your business. God is not a God of disorder. Do you think Obama is going to come and tell you something about his next his vice president? Say, so that you can correct the vice president. If Obama is smart enough to do that, don't you think God is smarter enough? And then you see many times in churches, people gather together, they start to intercede, and then in essence, you know, we need to pray for our pastor. Anytime you're here, you need to pray. Of course, gossip about gossip is about to start. We should pray, amen. But shut your mouth, amen. Just keep your mouth shut and pray in secret, amen. Or go and meet the pastor and say, "The Lord said this, you know, to me." Okay. And if you can, God can confirm it. But God is not a God of disorder. Come on, say, God is not a God of disorder. If He wanted you to change, to do that thing, He will make you, He will put you as the head of the church. Do you get that? He can speak something privately to you, but He'll put you there. Even when He spoke to Samuel about what's the name of that guy, Samuel was still subject until the time. Amen. So those are some of the mistakes that we make. Amen. Everybody say after me, say there are all kinds of gifts, but these gifts are for our benefit. They are for our benefit. Hallelujah. So this, summarizing, this gift that we just, gift in quotes, or this manifestation, that's a better word, that we just spoke about, can be divided into three. And I'm going to say that and I'll continue next week. Can be divided into three. Let's go back to that place. They can be divided into three. Go up a little. Based on the three areas that I say people desire the supernatural. First of all, please go to verse 4, I think. I want to show you. The three areas where many of us desire supernatural power, or we just desire something higher. Verse 5, when it starts to mention the gifts. Mention the gift. Where it starts to talk about the gifts. It's giving the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one. Good. Pay attention. For to one is given through the Spirit the word of wisdom, and another the word of knowledge. Now, these two gifts, these are supernatural gifts. This covers that desire in the heart of people to know the future and to know, to clarify the present and to understand or clarify something in the past. For example, when they came to Solomon, look up everyone. When they came to Solomon, two ladies came to Solomon and they were fighting over a child. Say, "This is my child, is your child, it's not your child." And they came to Solomon. Remember, God had given Solomon wisdom. But at that moment, when they came, there was a need to discern an understanding about a current situation and a past situation. That thing came upon Solomon. And Solomon spoke and said, "Do this and do that and do that." And they were able to discern who owns the baby. That's the gift, in a sense, of wisdom, or word of wisdom in operation, in a measure. Now, when they called Daniel and they said the king just had a dream, and the king has refused to tell the dream to everyone, and he says that, "I want somebody to interpret the dream that I've not told everyone. And if you don't interpret my dream, which I've not told anyone, all of you are going to die. Because if I tell you the dream, you will give me any kind of interpretation. If I tell you I saw two cattle and I two whatever, you can say the cattle represent this and the, you know, and everybody will say their own. But if you really, truly, truly understand, first of all, tell me the dream. Then I will know that your interpretation is what is correct." Do you get it? It was the gift that was upon Daniel. that Daniel was able to see into the past and speak about something that happened in the past. Nebuchadnezzar, when you were on your bed, you had a dream and you saw this statue and you saw that church statue. Or Joseph, when he came and then he told Pharaoh, you had this dream, you saw fat cattle and all that. In other words, this guy was able to go into the past and see what happened in the past. And then he was not able to bring the past and then also talk about what is going to happen. Because in 7 years, you know, there'll be 7 years of plenty, or is it 9 years? I don't even remember. And some years of whatever. So go and prepare this and prepare that. That's the gift of the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge is what allows you to be able to speak, to see, and speak about something that happened in the past, or something that happened that is happening currently. And then the word of wisdom is now what allows you to speak about something that is going to happen in the future, or to give clarification. Say, this is the step that you need to take right now. Now, based on what I see, you need to do this. You need to start saving 20% of all the food, like Daniel, like Joseph told them. Do you get what I'm saying? That's the gift of the word of wisdom. Doesn't that answer the question of knowing the future and knowing the past? Come on, say amen if you believe that. Did you get that? God covers it. The next one, quick, let's do it. So I just want to summarize and I'll end with that. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gift of healings by the same Spirit. And then to another, the working of miracles. Stop there. So the first gifts that I showed you, they allow you to know something about the past and the present. They are gifts of revelations, to know things. Sometimes you just know something about people and God says, share it with them. Sometimes you have to do it secretly, not openly. Sometimes you have to share something openly that is general, that will not embarrass people. God doesn't embarrass people. Some of you have been in churches or somewhere where somebody comes and say, thus hear the Lord. Sister Felicia, come forward. The Lord told me that you have been committing sin and you have been doing this. And Sister Felicia starts to shake, you know, and start to do that. Now, those instances, if the Holy Spirit is moving in that instance, is few and far between. Amen. And the person must have committed, like Ananias and Sapphira. Do you get what I'm saying? But generally, the Holy Spirit does not embarrass people. Amen. Did you get that? Not embarrass people. If he gives you a, you know, he will say, go and talk to, why do you have to use a microphone? Sit down with what, Sister Felicia, and say, this is the word the Lord is telling you. You know, am I right or am I not right? But whatever, go and repent. But you come and make the announcement in front and you embarrass people. Some people will sue you for libel in this place. And then you get to court and say, I was just operating by the gifts of the Spirit. Okay. It doesn't go anywhere in church. Listen, one of the things that we should learn is the heart of privacy and protecting one another. Instead of just... that prayer meeting, if you hear what brother said... we need to pray for him, you know. No, that's nonsense. That's gossip. That's not the gifts of the Spirit. That's not love. If you hear something about brother so and so, talk to God about brother so and so, not to another person. Amen. Don't gather to have a prayer meeting about somebody without them knowing. Say, okay, we need say, let's, you know, all of us, let us gather together to start to pray for Mr. and Mrs. So and so. You know, because the way their life is going now. What is your own? Eh? Oh my God. Okay, so everybody say miracles, healings, and what's the other one? Faith. So these second categories of gift, they are the ones that allow you to do things. So healing is doing something. Miracles is doing something. You see that a lot in the Bible. Jesus turned water to wine. Jesus healed all kinds of people. Moses threw down his rod. Elijah did all that. That's the gift of power. Ever say the gift of power? That's the one that the heart desire of man to control things. That's where the Holy Ghost puts it there. Miracles happen when it's in operation. Jobs get released. Things that have been broken get freed. Things, I mean, supernatural things happen as a result of the Holy Spirit. People get healed and delivered. Miracles happen in people's finances, in businesses, your finances. When you start operating in that, if your father is operating in it, miracles will be happening in your family. Because these are not just things you operate in the traditional church. Because the people that he was talking to, those letters were not written to people who met in a church building. They were written to people who met in houses with an elder over them. So he was talking about the gift of the Spirit operating inside the house. Did you get that? Inside the houses. So that means when you gather your GQs or when you gather as a father with your children, the gift of the Spirit. I mean, if your child, you know, sometimes say, my child is doing something and I don't even know what he's going to do. The Holy Ghost will tell you. The Holy Ghost will tell you. He will tell you if the child is beginning to experiment with drugs or whatever. You might be praying and then you just see a vision. Your spirit will follow the child to see. Have you seen parents who are so discerning? Not suspicion. I'm not talking about parents who are suspicious, because when you are suspicious and you're always afraid, you're going to cause this, your fear is going to cause the same thing. But I'm talking about discerning parents. You see, that friend that this child is working with, I don't think this child is good. I'm going to pray about it. And you're not supposed to force a child and say, don't, you know. You know, you pray about it, because the more you force people to do things, the more they want to do it. Are you getting what I'm saying? But you let them, you pray about it, and you use wisdom to do it. In other words, these things are available for us. You can use it in any area of calling, any place where you are. You can know things supernaturally. You can be going for a meeting right now, and you just know this is a topic that's going to be discussed, and you are prepared. Amen. And then the last category of gifts are different kinds of tongues. I would say different kinds of tongues, prophecies, and the discerning of spirit. Different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Those ones have to do with saying something. Everybody say saying something. So the three categories, the first category is knowing something. The second category is doing something. And then the third category is saying something. In the area of saying something, that one, Paul says everybody should pray to prophesy. What does it mean? Because many times we are faced with situations where we have to say things at the spur of the moment that you have never talked about. At church, in a business meeting, when you are with an unbeliever or whatever, you need inspiration to speak at the spur of the moment. The gift of prophecy is that supernatural ability to be able to say things coming from your heart that you were not prepared for at the spur of the moment. Like some of the demonstrations you saw when we started worshiping today. That's the gift of prophecy. It's a gift to be able to speak to people and encourage them. A father can do it. A mother can use it with the children. The children can use it. Amen. You can do it in church. You can come to church right now and somebody gives you a word, and that word just gives you encouragement, and that just empowers your week. All these things have been given to us by the Spirit. You that you speak constantly before people, you are invited to speak before people and all that. Sometimes your prepared remarks will not work. Amen. But when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, amen, you can speak when you are not prepared. And those words will cut into the heart of people. Those words will be remembered by people. And those words will motivate people. All these things are available to us in the Holy Spirit. I'll show you more examples next week. But we're going to end right now. Let's end it. So what's our response? What do we do with this message? What do we do with this message? Even though some of you may not understand it fully now, we're still learning and processing it. But what do you do with this message? This is what I want to ask you. Paul says we should desire. Everybody say desire. Someone say desire. The best gift. In fact, Paul uses stronger. He said covet earnestly the best gift. We should covet it. The same way you want, you know, a nice car or whatever. He said we should go after it. Desire it. And then he says we should pray for it. He said, let him that speaks in tongues pray that he may prophesy. In other words, simply, what I want us to do, our response is, I want us to open up ourselves to God and say, I'm not going to be afraid of these things. But instead, Lord, I'm going to desire them. And I'm going to ask you, Lord, whichever way you choose, whether you are going to use somebody, you know, to bless me with this gift, or you are going to use me to bless somebody with any of this gift. Whatever you have designed in your sovereign will that you want to operate in my life, for my calling, for my ministry, from today, I want it to be inaugurated in my life. I want you to start using it. I want you to start using me in this supernatural thing. And I'm going to start expecting them and be aware of them. And I'm going to yield. I'm not going to, I'm not going to just, when they come, I'm not going to put them down. I'm just going to yield to you and let you do it. When you get into that attitude of asking God, desiring these things, and asking Him to teach you how to walk in it, asking Him to use you or to use other people to bless you with it, you start seeing more manifestations of these supernatural things. And listen, when they start operating, many things that took you or that would have taken you years to accomplish, you find yourself accomplishing them, instantly. Because that's what the Holy Ghost does. It catalyzes things in our lives. It breathes upon us and it causes things to grow. How many of you are going to start doing that now? Why don't we rise up on our feet right now and let's do that.
Thanks again for joining us. Remember James 1:22, which urges us to not only be hearers, but also doers of the word. This message and more can be found on the web at www.thecitylight.org.